And something is missing. Something which has always been there is now gone. And only now can the tadpole know what water is, once she's jumped out of the water. And I think you can understand just the logic, the reason, and the profundity of that simile. It's only when things disappear you can really understand what they are. And this is one of the reasons why I mentioned at the beginning that through stillness things vanish. That's the job of samadhi. And any of you who look at the texts, the sutras, that is the meaning of viraga. From samadhi, we sometimes get from stillness, we get viraga, things fading away. Sometimes it's an alternative translation, sometimes they call it dispassion. But in this context it means fading. Water fades away and then it ceases, it erodes. And this is what the tadpole is experiencing. Now a frog. This thing, water, has faded away, it's vanished. Now you can understand what water really is. And of course, I hope you can understand that simile, that when you're meditating, many, many things vanish. First of all, the past and the future vanish. And then you're in the present moment. Now you start to understand what time is, when it vanishes. It's an incredible thing called time. And just a little bit of an extra there here for you, because I love telling this particular argument, because I started telling this when I was giving a talk at the Australian Physics Society in the CRIO, or CIRO, Commonwealth Science... CSIRO, okay, yeah. In Sydney, and, you know, it's... They wanted to have, like, because I was an ex-physicist and still keep in touch, and also Buddhist, a meditator, and see if you can find some interesting connections between those two. And I was just talking about the nature of time. Because when time vanishes, which it does in meditation, time has no meaning for you anymore. It's gone. Now you can understand what time is once it's vanished. So one of those understandings which comes up, to understand what it really is, I start to use some examples from history. 300, 400 years ago, human beings on this world of ours thought the planet Earth was flat. And that if you sailed far enough, you'd fall off the edge. Which was why people like Columbus, you know, he was really had to get some very courageous sailors, because they all actually believed they went too far, they'd get to the edge and that would be the end of them. They thought the earth had boundaries. But, of course, you may look at those people and think just how immature and stupid they were, because you've had greater data, more time to understand this planet Earth is round. It's not flat. So it has got limited area, but no boundaries. You can go as long as you want on this earth and you don't get to come to the edge of it. But after a while you keep retracing the steps, same places you visited before. It's got limited surface area with no boundaries. And when I was a young man going to school, I would start thinking about the nature of the universe. Has the universe got boundaries? If you go far enough, now will you come to an end somewhere, a big wall saying no one can go further than this? Or like in Singapore, they have these barbed wire fences with pictures of guys being shot by the security guards. You can't go further. Or is it just a chasm, you know, at the end of the universe? And you think about that, but nothing makes any sense. If there is a wall, there must be something on the other side of the wall. If there's a fence, there must be something beyond the fence. Nothing really satisfies you. And then you start going to university, and Einstein's general theory, I won't explain what that is, but what it means is this universe with all its galaxies, all this universe, it is limited volume. We know roughly how much space there is here, but it has no edges, no boundaries. And if you go far enough, you'll come back to where you started from. It is curved. And it was explained to me in Cambridge in the science class, just the same as an ant crawling over the surface of a football or a basketball if you don't play soccer. That if an ant goes over the basketball, it goes round and round and round and round and round, soon finds out it's got limited area but no boundaries. So that's like the universe. Marvelous. So let's go to the next level. Time. Time. Limited duration, but no boundaries, like space, like Earth. Unfortunately, these days there are still a lot of flat timers, like flat earthers, thinking time is flat. And we just got born with that perception. We've just got conditioned by our culture with that perception, just like people 300, 400 years ago. It was obvious the Earth was flat. Just like for you, it's obvious that time is flat. But the truth of the matter is that even time is curved. Limited duration, but no boundaries, no beginnings, no ends. And I must confess that I did watch a movie on the aircraft about Earth. 3 or 4 weeks ago, because it was it's supposed to be a documentary, but it's more like a movie about Stephen Hawking's theory of everything. And I knew many of the people involved in there, I went to a few of Professor Sharma's lectures when I was there, hang out in the same building where Stephen Hawking was, but you know, he wasn't famous and I wouldn't even notice him, and he wouldn't have noticed me either. And the you know, just at the end of the movie, you know, after, basically being the person responsible for the idea of a Big Bang, but then realizing, you know, maybe you don't understand this, but even black holes decay, they're not permanent, called Hawking radiation. But from that, realizing that even Big Bangs aren't the beginning. There's things before the Big Bang. And also, in particular, just how that just starts to mess around with time and curve time. And the last thing you were saying, which I really picked up on, which was worth watching the whole movie for, was something I read he said in an article, but it never really registered. And he said that his idea was a world without boundaries, a universe without beginnings or ends, like a planet Earth without any boundaries. Curved round, a universe without any edges, time without beginnings or ends. And he's probably acknowledged one of the greatest minds alive today. And that's exactly what the Buddha said. Time without beginnings, without boundaries, without beginnings and ends. And that just solves one of those problems of religion, of philosophy, of metaphysics, basic of ontology, which is the study of beginnings and ends. It solves all those problems. God, creator, there was no beginning. You don't need those things anymore. It's the end of God. Time without boundaries. That is really beautiful. To me, that is real science, that is religion, that is insight. Beautiful answers to problems of life. So, time has got no edges to it, no boundaries. Isn't that beautiful? But what that really means is the insights you get, you know, even into the nature of things when you understand what time is. And you can only understand time when you're not a prisoner of time. Just like that simile which I put in my first book, Open the Door of Your Heart, about This is a great insight simile. About the time I visited Central America and the Yucatan Peninsula in Guatemala and went to this group of pyramids in the middle of the jungle. It was in a place called Tikal. And these pyramids, no one knows exactly why they were built or what the civilization was, because it was the Mayan civilization. And they disappeared way before the Spanish came in. And no one knows why. And it's one of those mysteries. They suddenly, a great thriving civilization and died out within a few years. Could have been diseases. I don't know what it was. No one knows. But they left these huge pyramids in the middle of the jungle. And I always was wanted to go and see one of these. This was in 1969. And to get there, I had to travel through the jungle. It was about 3 days from Guatemala City, you know, on boats through the river. I always remember that boat ride through the river because it was just like something out of a movie. You know, there was Indians going in their dugout canoes with absolutely no clothes on, animals swinging through the trees. I say, and I really thought this might happen, that any moment Tarzan would come swinging through the jungle. That's what it was like, real jungle, narrow tracks passing through the jungle. And it was really exciting for an 18-year-old. And when he finally got to the temple complex after 3 days of hard traveling in the jungle, there was this big, big pyramids. And I only saw one other person in the whole complex. He must have been some sort of archaeologist. But, you know, there was no security guards, no entrance fees, no tea shop where you can get a cup of tea, no souvenirs. It was really pristine. But because there was no security guards, of course, you know, I'm a boy, 18-year-old. And what do boys do when they see a pyramid? Climb up it. I keep telling people, it's a boy thing. If we see something like that, we have to climb it. So I didn't know what I was doing. No one was stopping me. So I climbed up to the very top. And that was a wonderful experience because I knew nothing about it. I hadn't learned or read any books about it. I hadn't prepared. Because a lot